Hello and welcome to the Rooted in the Really Real podcast. Get ready to go on a journey of knowledge, growth, healing, and prayer rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now let's dive in. So big picture, what we've been doing is talking about virtue. We decided to take a little break from that and talk about, last episode was this whole idea of sanctifying the ordinary and particularly looking at motherhood, although it kind of pertains to all vocations, right? But it was based on this talk that you gave to my mom's group at my parish. And we kind of began talking, I guess, about how there's like all these different topics that come from it. We touched on all this stuff. And I just felt after that last episode, we just skimmed the surface on so many different topics, so many different ideas, so many things that we could talk about that maybe before we jump back into virtue, back to virtue.
I like it. Well played.
We've already made that joke before. So before we go back into that series and go back to Romano Guardini's book on virtue, maybe we talk a little bit more about stuff that came from that last talk, about that last episode. So where we were going from that and what we want to talk about today is kind of this idea of the different seasons of life that we find ourselves in and the different times of transition in our life. And I think we can kind of look at that as two different things, but I think they kind of overlap a lot and there's a lot of similarities in what we want to talk about here. So do you have any ideas of where to begin? Should I start with seasons of life? What do you want to do?
Well, I think we want to just, first of all, acknowledge that transition is part of everything that we go through in life, right? Like we have transitions naturally in our days, but the kind of transitions that we're talking about are the ones that are more major, right? Like
life transitions.
Like life transitions.
You know, school and jobs.
And marriage and vocation. Changes. You know, and going from being parents or going from being husband and wife to becoming parents, or going from being parents of one kid to two, and just how each of these transitions, right, takes place within the context of a season of life, that they work together. They're not separate, but they have different elements and different aspects to them.
I think specifically looking at it as how it affects your spiritual life. And I think it's just having that perspective is helpful because when I was going from college to getting married to having my first baby, I didn't really have that perspective of like, it's okay if things are different for a certain season of life. You know, it's like, oh no, I need to get my prayer back to how it was, or I need to like get back to this ideal. But I think it's helpful for us to just recognize that there are different seasons. There are different times of transition in our life when things are going to be different. I think like a lot of people I know and myself too, like there's so much like anxiety sometimes, or, you know, just stress with like things changing. When it's like, oh, I've got a good prayer routine and I'm doing really well and I'm patting myself on the back because I'm proving myself in all these different ways. I get really comfortable with routine. And then all of a sudden there's like a big transition in life. And it's like, oh, like my prayer can't look the exact same way, you know, or like certain things have to change. Just like maybe I can't make it to the adoration chapel or I can't go to daily mass as much. And it's like that doesn't reflect on who I am. It doesn't mean that my relationship with the Lord has to like suffer immensely. You know, like I think it's important to recognize just specifically we're looking at this from the perspective of how this affects our prayer, our relationships with the Lord and each other and ourselves.
I think, you know, as you're talking, Ashley, I think one of the great challenges is always what is it that we expect of ourselves? And can that expectation, or does that expectation actually fit into the reality of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, right? Because we go back right to the podcast is rooted in the really real. And I think that a big part of this is recognizing, okay, where am I right now? Like, what is my reality right now in this moment? Because, you know, before I became a priest, when I was in the seminary, the reality was very different. And I remember being able to make two holy hours a day, you know, pray, you know, just my prayer life was just seemed so different when I was in the seminary because there was more time. I wasn't responsible for a community of people. I wasn't responsible for others. I was just responsible for myself. And I had all the time in the world, really, to take care of myself and my prayer life and my relationships with people. And so, becoming a priest, I began to get frustrated and angry with myself when that happened because I was no longer in that same role. There was a huge transition that took place from that time. And the season of my life all of a sudden became different because I went from being responsible just for myself now to being co-responsible with the pastor for a parish community. And it took me a long time to realize that I couldn't pray in the same way that I did. I couldn't keep doing things the way that I did. And the expectations I had for myself really were driving me crazy because I kept getting angry with myself, not being able to sit with the Lord for as long as I wanted to. And also not when I wanted to, because you get called to do an anointing in the morning or you get called to do other things. It's like, okay, Lord, like this isn't my life anymore. I don't have that same freedom in a sense to do what I think I want to do. And really what I realized is how much the change in season highlighted my own selfishness or highlighted my own pride and my expectations of me being good because I did certain things.
Yeah, with me, there's obviously something very similar there in a parallel of just going from having my own schedule. I just think about being in college at Franciscan University where there was just like an abundance of time that I had to devote to whatever I wanted to. And all my classes primarily were theology classes. So I'm going to Mass every day. I'm praying a holy hour every day. I'm on top of like my rosary and liturgy of the hours and doing all these things, right? Like my whole day is filled with prayer and this time-consuming prayer. It's like I'm always thinking about it. I'm always studying it and reading about it. And then we graduated college and got married soon after. And it's like we still kind of kept up with like a similar routine of going to Mass every day, did our best to have a holy hour and adoration every day. We just had that time available. Like we could get up. We didn't have any other responsibilities. And we could go to Mass. We could, you know, just have that time there. So it kind of still felt similar, even though I was in a different, you know, there was a life transition of graduating college and getting married and doing all that stuff. But the big season of life change for me was like when I had my first baby, and there were still like moments where like we would go to daily Mass or like I would get some time to like, you know, run to adoration quick and have that alone time. But as a whole, I really struggled with that idea of my prayer doesn't need to look exactly the same. Like I kept thinking like, oh, I just need to like learn how to get it back to how it was. Like I need to be able to now be a mom and have this like kind of identity shift here and learn this different role and take care of another human. And I need to be going to Mass every day and I need to still be in the adoration chapel every day. And I still need to be praying a rosary every day. And like, I lacked that big picture of like, this is a season of my life right now of having a newborn where things are going to shift. Like expectations need to shift. What's realistic needs to shift. And I think the big struggle was not having that. And so there was a real difficulty. I know, like, I talked to you a lot about this at the time of just, I feel like I'm not praying, you know, like, oh, like I'm always dealing with all this stuff now, taking care of a baby and just everything that entails, like, oh, he's not sleeping or he's really fussy and colicky or I need to feed him and I can't leave right now because I need to feed him again. I need to put him to sleep and all this stuff where it's like, oh, like, the goal is to get back to how I was pre-baby, pre-having kids, and then my prayer will be good. Then I'll be doing a good job. You know, and it's like all this kind of distorted expectation of myself, you know, then it brings about shame and all this stuff, right? It encourages self-reliance and control because it's like, oh, I need to make sure, like being a good daughter of the Father, being a good Catholic, being a good whatever means that I'm going to Mass every day and now I'm not going to daily Mass. So I must not be praying as much or I don't have that just quiet, like I'm much more distracted. So that means I'm not praying enough and that the Lord's disappointed in me. Like there was just a lot of negative stuff there, you know? And it's like now when I had my third baby, like last year, it's like, I know that this is a season of my life where I can just like not have a lot of expectations and recognize like there's going to be quiet moments when I can pray, but like I need to be home more and I can't be off by myself like in adoration for an hour when I have a 3-day-old baby at home. You know, like there's just different shifts and like that doesn't mean that my prayer needs to suffer necessarily, you know, but like things can be different in these transitions. I just want people to know that so that you're not just like, oh my gosh, I am awful because in college I used to pray or maybe I had a big conversion like, you know, in my 20s or something. And now it's like, oh, I'm not where I was. The goal isn't always to like fight to get back to what it was like at a certain time in our life.
Because that is a great danger, actually, to think that this was the pinnacle of my spiritual life when I was doing all these things. And oftentimes that's the key, right? It's like, I was doing this and I was doing this and I was doing this and I was doing this. But it's like, but the question really is what was my relationship with God like at that time? Where, what was my heart experiencing with the Lord when I was doing all those things? Because it's oftentimes like I know when I've done fasting at times with a group of my brother priests, sometimes when we do fasting as a group, it's more about like us doing it and showing each other that we could do it rather than it being about God. And so that's something too that I think is really important. Like when we talk about these seasons, and we have to ask the Lord, like, what are you actually asking of me? Not what do I think I need to be doing to be good in my spiritual life, but what are you asking of me? And that's such an important question, because it allows the Lord to begin to strip us of this expectation that our prayer has to look a certain way according to the world or our minds. Rather, the Lord has a particular way that he desires you and I to be with him in prayer. And asking the question, like, Lord, what do you desire of me in this moment, creates space to actually have freedom there. Now, the challenge always is then to respond to what the Lord asks of us, right? Like, the Lord might be like, can you just take 5 minutes right now and sit with me and just offer to me these next 5 minutes to the best of your ability? And you're like, I'm going to go make a phone call instead, right? I only say that out loud because I joke sometimes because I'm in my car and the Lord's like, can you just sit here in silence with me for 5 minutes? And I'm like,
fill the time, fill the space, fill the quiet.
That's exactly what the enemy does whisper to me. That is exactly what it sounds like. Not in her voice, but you know, it's like, quick, you have all these other things you could do. Why aren't you doing them? Like, just start doing, right? And the Lord's like, no, can you be with me in this moment? Because what's more important is that disposition of our hearts and our souls to be with God than to do with God. It's in that sense of like, it's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say my rosary. I'm going to say this. But if I'm saying my rosary to say my rosary, it's not the same as saying my rosary to be with Mary. And there's a difference in that.
Well, yeah, and I know I listed off a lot of things that I was doing at the time, but I think it's also important to like recognize other factors that affect our different seasons of life and transitions, because my last semester of college, I was in a really good place of getting a lot of sleep and praying regularly and exercising and eating well and just like preparing for marriage and like getting, I was in this place of just being like very healthy. And then that season postpartum of having my first baby, I was not getting a lot of sleep. You know, I wasn't as like receptive, I think, to certain things. And I really needed to like allow the Lord into that space where my expectations were, because when you don't sleep, like, or, you know, you're not eating very well, or you're not exercising, and you're not, you know, when there are all those different factors contribute to like being a little less receptive to grace, I think. And like me just being like, I wish I could go back in time almost to that person and be like, hey, like, you just need to breathe, like drink some water and like, just let the Lord like hold you, you know, where it's like, oh, like I just wanted to like do more. And I wanted to like journal more and read more. Like, I wasn't reading a lot of great spiritual works at the time. And I previously was the last year. And it's like, oh, I'm not reading. I'm not journaling. I'm not doing all this stuff. And I just, and I mean, there were a lot of things that I think the Lord has healed and continues to heal since then, where a lot of it was like out of this place of I need to do more and prove myself and, you know, all that stuff. But that wasn't the time in my life when I needed to do all of that. You know, and I think we've talked about this before, and I think we were talking about it last episode about the Lord giving us like grace in the moment that we need it. You know, he's not going to tell us today, hey, like, these are the graces that I'm going to give you like next week, you know, like, and you can say yes or no to them. Like, it's normally in that moment, like the promptings of the Holy Spirit are in the present. And so trying to fight to get back to the way my prayer was isn't really an effective way to say yes to the Holy Spirit in the now.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm in a different place. My heart's in a different place. He's asking me to be in a different place. But for some reason, it's like, no, that's the ideal. I need to like get back to where I was. And recognizing like becoming a wife, becoming a mother, like my prayer's going to change. And where the Lord is asking me to go to and pray and where he's asking me to be and the graces he's going to like offer me are so different.
Well, and I think this is really important because one of the things you're describing is you were one way and where you are now is a different place. And so the gap between those two things, right, there's a real grief, there's a real loss that takes place there because it's like I lost, I can no longer do what I once was able to do. And that's a loss. And one of the ways that helps to make the transitions into different seasons of life, not only manageable, but actually fruitful, is to recognize the loss and to be able to talk about, okay, this is what I was able to do then, and to be very grateful for that. Like to sit in the place of gratitude and be like, yeah, like this was really beautiful that I could do that then. And how much I enjoyed being able to have that time, you know, to have a cup of coffee in the morning to, in my case, it was to make the second holy hour at night in the chapel when I was in the seminary or, being able to exercise without feeling as though like I was not available to people because the exercise took time that in my mind I didn't have. Right. And so it's like, just like recognizing the loss that's there. And acknowledging the loss, but also acknowledging the gift that that was at that time in my life to be able to do those things because those things prepared me for the moment I'm in now. And so by beginning to acknowledge the loss, we also acknowledge the gift that it was, and our hearts can say thank you to God. Our hearts can praise the Lord for that. And as we acknowledge the loss, we can also say, okay, Lord, like, I don't know what you have for me next. But by acknowledging the loss and the blessings of where we were, disposes the heart to where we are now. And I'll be honest, right? Oftentimes we only recognize that partway through the transition, partway into the new season that we find ourselves in, and partway through. But as we become more attentive to the shifts in seasons or these new transitions, we also become more aware of that happening in our lives. And so it's really important that as we acknowledge this, that we're able to then share that with trusted friends who can help us and encourage us on the way. You know, friendship is so important in this time when we're going through this, these seasonal changes of life, because it's through friendship that we find the Lord really communicating to us in a tangible way because he is incarnational, right? So he wants to make sure that you and I taste and see his goodness. And the way that he does that is through our spouse and through our friends, and through sometimes through strangers who all of a sudden just out of nowhere do very kind things for us because they look at us and they say, you know, let me take care of this for you. Because what the Lord wants is he really wants to take care of us. He really wants to provide us with that opportunity to know that we are seen and that what's going on in our lives that he's aware of. And so, you know, I think that that's what's one of the really the challenges is that when we go from one season to another, or when we have a transition, like you said, from like college into marriage or college to moving to go to work or to graduate school or a new child entering into the family, right? These are all transitions in our homes and in our lives that require of us and that offer us really this opportunity to take stock of where we are and to be grateful, but also at the same time to recognize what we have to let go of or what the Lord might be asking us to say goodbye to.
Yeah, just as you're talking about that, the kind of examples that we've given so far are almost like things are really good and now I'm struggling. So it's kind of that grief process. But I'm also thinking about sometimes the transition is I was really struggling and the Lord healed me. Like there was an encounter with the Lord. There was some huge transformation. There was a lot of progress made. There was a lot of stuff that was healed. And now I'm different. Now there's a transition in how I relate to the Lord and what I can receive. You know, there's those layers. And then it's like, oh, I've gone through something here, this transformation, this healing, this just encounter with the Lord. And now he has more, like different things for me. Now I can't just keep responding to him in prayer how I used to. Now my prayer's changing, and there might be a temptation to go back to how my prayer was and just be comfortable and respond in the same way as when I was really struggling with something. But now he's healed something, and now he's calling me to more, you know. And in my prayer, he's calling me to respond in a different way. And there can be kind of a, even though there's healing and joy and goodness in that, there can be a sort of grief in that experience too, I think. And it's just very applicable in so many different ways. We're always like going through these different changes, you know, and life isn't like static. It's always moving. It's dynamic. And so we're encountering like little things every day, even though, you know, big picture right now, we're talking about life transitions. It's like, there's always stuff that he's inviting us to be new and respond differently.
And he's always inviting us to share with him. Like, that's the thing. Like, every day, like, if we're honest with ourselves, we have something to grieve every day. We have something that didn't go the way that we had anticipated. We have something that didn't go the way we wanted it to. There is something that didn't turn out how we had hoped. And the Lord's just like, can you tell me about it? Can you share that disappointment with me? And can we go forward from there with that sense of trust in him and the plan that he has for us?
For more on that, you could listen to our episode on grieving and breathing in prayer. I think it was an early one.
It was
episode five or six or something.
It's so important. I was just thinking of my experience of being told by my doctor that I really can't have ice cream.
Gosh.
That was a very sad day for me that I was like, Jesus, like, I'm really angry with you because I can't have ice cream anymore. And the doctor did remind me that me eating at Dairy Queen six times a week was not healthy.
That's such an unrelatable example. Nobody does that. Gosh. People are really suffering out there, and you're like, I can't go to Dairy Queen six times a week.
All right. It's touche. One of the examples I want to give that actually is much more pertinent is just of Our Lady, right? And how Our Lady walks with her son through all the experiences. And in each of these different places, like, we see her just ever faithful to the Lord. And I think that's really what is asked of us in these things is the Lord doesn't ask us for perfection. He doesn't ask us for success. He asks us for fidelity. And we see Mary, right, at the foot of the cross, you know, we sing the Sabbath Mater, right, that she's right there with him. Her heart is pierced because of her love for him and her love for us. And then we see her continuing in that sense of fidelity, right, towards her son and this deep trust in God, even though all of a sudden now she too is grieving the same loss that all of us are grieving of her son in the Passion. And she awaits with this hope and this trust in what the Father is going to do. And she experiences that firsthand, right, in the resurrection and how Our Lady lives out of this profound trust in what God is doing and this profound faith. And so I really see Our Lady as the one who is our model and our example for all the seasons of our lives and all the transitions, because in each one of them, she can teach us how to respond to them. And she can teach us what the Lord is really asking of us in the moment. Because, you know, what I would think the Lord is asking of me in a moment, and I bring that to Our Lady, and Our Lady oftentimes holds up something very different because she knows the heart of God in a way that I don't. And I think of, you know, I just think of like the apostles, how they all scatter, right? And what does Our Lady show us? She shows us the importance of just being still and being faithful and being rooted in Christ, no matter where we find ourselves.
Yeah, I think just that whole idea of being rooted in the really real, of just acknowledging, like, we all get caught up in our own stuff, and it doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean that it's not worth suffering for, or we shouldn't feel bad about it, or we shouldn't be affected by it. But it's just like we could get so in our own head sometimes in our own life that we forget that big picture. We forget, like, what is the Lord really asking of me here? What are the expectations that he has for me? What is realistic for me to expect of myself? Because sometimes we want too much, or we want something that he's not asking us, asking of us. It's that, what is reality and where am I in this? I feel like that's an important place to be.
So just in the long and the short of the seasons of life in transition is that they happen, and that they happen oftentimes both expectedly and unexpectedly, whether it be illness or it's news of a pregnancy, job loss or job transfer, you know, engagement, right? These transitions and these seasons of life happen. You know, sometimes we can see them coming and sometimes we can't. The key, though, is regardless of whether we see the transitions coming or not, the question that the Lord wants to ask us is, once we become aware of it happening, are we willing to go to him and share with him what is taking place in the transition? Because sometimes, again, as we said, it's difficult and it's hard. Other times it's filled with joy and peace. But that still doesn't mean that there isn't something that we have to recognize as being, that we're being asked to let go of. And so that recognition of the loss and the gratitude of what we had and then releasing that to the Lord so that we can be open to what now he's inviting us to is really that this fundamental movement that takes place in each season and each transition. And it doesn't always happen quickly, right? Sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes it takes months to work through that experience. And sometimes it even takes years because of how devastating or traumatic the transition or the change in the season of life might be. But the Lord's invitation is, can you and I be faithful? Can we be faithful to him who is faithful to us, to allow him to help us move through what we have to grieve and let go of, and to receive and to claim the graces and the opportunities that he offers us in this present moment to taste and see his goodness, to taste and see that goodness of the Lord that he pours out to us from the cross? And so with
I just want to say, like, I think too, it's just there are a lot of factors where it might not just be, sorry, you said about like years, it might be like trauma and stuff having to deal with it. But I think also there's just a component of like, how mature are we in our faith? You know, how self-aware are we too? You know, like maybe there was a lot in your teenage years or college years and you're recognizing like, whoa, like all these transitions, I did not handle this all well. And you kind of have to like sift that through with the Lord, or he brings that up. And it might not be because there was, you know, it might just be like, where we grow and our awareness and where our prayer is with the Lord, that there are different things to bring up to him. And I think basically repeating what you're saying, but just we don't have to be super like hyper aware of like, oh gosh, I'm in this transition. I have to go to the Lord right now and I have to do it in, you know, this exact format. And I have, you know, like, but just that having that posture of receptivity and that disposition of like honesty with the Lord of like, oh, I'm acknowledging that something's affecting me and this is actually like a change and I didn't realize I'm in the midst of this big transition. Like I haven't been sharing that with the Lord. It's just, I think the goal is to kind of just have that relationship with him, to just naturally then go to him, you know, and like have that honesty and just be like, I don't even know what's real right now. Like, what are you asking of me? Because I've been plowing through the last 2 weeks thinking that I should be doing stuff a certain way, but I'm realizing like, whoa, I'm about to graduate in 2 weeks and like, maybe you're asking something different of me. And like, just having that realness with the Lord, you know, like,
and that's the key. That honesty, that vulnerability is the key that allows us to really to see too. Like we look back at our lives when we've done that, and it's like, wow, Lord, like you were ever faithful, ever present, and look at how much I've grown because of my vulnerability and my honesty with you. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it, right? Like the Lord uses every opportunity for those who have faith to bring about some good. And so that's really our big trust here is in these seasons and these transitions, is that the Lord desires to draw a good from these experiences so that you and I can be more and more conformed to the person of Jesus Christ and more perfect in the heart of the Father and in that gift of love. And so we just ask for an outpouring, really, of the Holy Spirit on us, that Almighty God would grant us the graces to persevere in faith, to help us grow in our own self-awareness and self-knowledge and self-acceptance, and to trust in his providential care for ourselves, for our families, for all those that have been entrusted to us. And we ask you, Father, to bless us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. You can also follow our Facebook page, Rooted in the Really Real Podcast, and Ashley Pultorek on Instagram for episode information and more. God bless.